All right, here we go. We actually have a very special guest on today. I don't know why I started with it. I'm gonna have to edit that.
No stress, man. Take your time.
The thing on the show is the first take never gets played.
Yeah,
It's
no.
been 10 years and I don't think I've gotten the first take. But then they will move and then, we're
Of
good.
course.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the all new edition of the Turin Giants podcast. Number 229, I believe. You see how much preparation we do on this podcast. I'll have to look up the number, but I think it is 229 on this beautiful October afternoon, morning, or night, wherever you're listening. We have a very special guest with us, but let me get some business out of the way first. My name is Farhad. I'm the host that loves you most. Season 10 of the Turin Giants podcast. You can listen to this. You can watch this on Spotify or you can watch this on YouTube. There's very many ways of checking out our podcast. TurinGiants.com, at Juve Podcast on Twitter, at Turin Giants on Twitter, at Turin Giants on Instagram. Instagram has been getting a lot of new followers, so welcome if you found out about our podcast from Instagram. The Reels, man. The Reels is the way to go. Very special guest with us, and actually a person who's achieved something on YouTube. Iago, welcome, my friend.
Hey, what's up, lads? Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for the invite. First time I'm on a Juventus podcast, so
That's
excited.
awesome, man. I love your shirt, man. You're representing.
Thanks.
This is one of the favorites around Turin Giants, around Juventus fans. I'm a little nervous, actually, man. Actually talking to an
Really?
accomplished YouTuber. Yeah, look at me.
More or less. No, this is 2015, 16, right? I'm not even sure. I think so, yeah.
Who you got
20
on the back?
Dyballa.
I knew
Oh,
it. I knew I
yeah.
should have said
How did
that.
you know?
It's a beauty, dude. That
Yeah, I
gold
love
and
that
gold and black is just if you come up with something like that as a kit manufacturer, you struck
one. Yeah.
gold, no pun intended. Well, you have a ton of followers. I'm sure many of your fans are listening now. We're gonna get you in a hot seat, my friend. We're gonna find out about your YouTube career, your content creation, and of course, we have something that's called On the Spot, which is where we ask questions that you may not know about your favorite content creator. So we'll get to that at
All
the
right.
end.
Should I be scared?
Well, no,
Let's see.
I we it's it, the I would rather go a way of having fun with the guest
Yeah,
than
I was just kidding.
putting them in a hot seat. No, you shouldn't be. But you know what? We're gonna find out a lot of interesting things. First things first. What's your least favorite thing about content creation and why is it lighting? Tell me why for the last 30 minutes I've been playing around with every single light source in my room here. And I hate it so much.
you get used to it. I don't even think about lighting. I just have my three lights here and then just press them on. It's something you get used to, I guess. So
Looks
mine
beautiful,
isn't
man.
perfect either, but I guess people don't really mind. So no,
Well,
my least favorite thing, you asking that? It's
it
probably
was a joke about the lighting, but
all
hey,
right.
if you have
What
something
was
to tell
the
us, of course,
joke?
we'd
Well,
love to.
if you're seriously want to know that, I guess it's because I'm in the football soccer niche, then whenever I go to games, I mostly make a video. So I barely go to games anymore without making a video, which is kind of sad. So I set this rule for myself. Whenever I go to my own club, Hamburg in Germany, I 99% do not make videos. So that's how I keep the passion a little bit. So yeah, but
It's a,
let's move
you're
on.
ahead of me because that was my next question. I was wondering
Yeah.
if there's actually games where you go regularly and that Hamburg
Yeah.
is your team. How did you become, obviously you have a few teams that you support. How did you become a Juventus fan? When and what's
Well,
that
yeah,
story?
as I said, then Hamburg is obviously my club, like from Germany's second division. We're not doing very well right now, similarly to Juventus. But I'm actually half Italian as well. So my dad
Oh,
is
interesting.
from Italy. Yeah, he's a Juventus fan. He's been a Juventus fan since, I don't know, start of the 80s. So he really saw that golden generation, or one of the golden generations, that first Champions League win and all that stuff. And he passed that on to me. So Juventus has always been in my heart, as my, yeah, I would say second team, or it used to be my, the big team, I the team I support internationally. Mm-hmm. Now this season, obviously not, but so I've been always following. Yeah, I have to say I used to follow even more closely in the Conte and first Allegri era, as now, but still obviously following the games, watching most games as well. And
Oh, I love it. I love it. I actually didn't know that story. Your roots go a lot deeper than I thought they would, but that's awesome. There's many, many fans that I meet in my adventures with the fan club here in Chicago, fan club in LA. And, the old heads, they're still sporting the Danone sponsors, and they're really proud of their first love, which is like Platini, and people who are like 3-4 years younger than me. Baggio was their guy. I unfortunately did not catch that era, but Del Piero.
Who's your guy?
Del Piero.
Yeah, that's the same with my dad.
I have a photo with him. We had a dinner together. It was a part of probably like the best thing that came out of my content creation is having dinner at his restaurant, sitting next to him. There was, I'll never forget it, man. Kids, take the opportunity when you're given. There was 8 people having dinner with us, and one person, one seat that was empty was next to him. And I'm like, hey, I'm taking this chance. And I'll never forget that experience sharing a lobster pizza or a lobster pasta with Del Piero. That was awesome.
No way. That's crazy, man. Congratulations.
There's a advertisement, or as we call it, a commercial somewhere out there floating, which is literally like half an hour of promoting. I think it was some kind of a online paying. It sounds like Skrillex, but I know it's not Skrillex.
All right.
That's a DJ. But anyways, it was one of a kind of experience. It was fantastic. So I'm working on putting a canvas back here. So a little bit about your content creation. How long you've been in it? How fast did you hit the heights you're on right now? And what inspired you to get into it?
Yeah, I actually started, the way I started was actually pretty boring, because I was literally just in eighth grade, 14 years, I think, in 2015.
Wow.
And it was like school break, shit weather, couldn't play football, couldn't do anything. So I just said, yo, why not start an I started on Instagram. So why not start an Instagram football meme page? It was a meme page back in the day. So super silly. And yeah, but it just, I don't know, it just after, it was back in the days when you could literally just grow on Instagram with memes, self-made memes, which is, I don't know, there was no reels and all that stuff. And it got more and more serious, actually. I hit it, I think, 10K after half a year. So it took time. But then it got faster, like 100K after 1.5 years, I think. But I just stuck around. And then YouTube and all that stuff, the videos actually came way later. I think 2021 or late 2020 was when I took the video seriously. Before that, first five years, I switched from memes to like written analysis posts and gave my opinion on transfers and stuff. But no videos at all. So the videos, I've been doing them for like about 3 years now.
I love what you do, man. The nerdiness and the fact that you're so passionate about it and your animated views, and it's quite fun.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, the old Instagram was one of a kind. I remember I grew it was @Juventus_daily page. But it got taken down after they started taking the copyright seriously. But I was heartbroken. I reached 50K on my own. No, algorithm, no, none of that real BS. It was straight up pictures. And I was talking to my followers. And actually, we got a new page now, like I said, @TurinGiants. And it's quite fun. I mentioned on this podcast a lot that Instagram followers are becoming a little more fun to interact with than Twitter. Twitter has become, hey, what can I do to get this person riled up? Or what can I do to be an asshole for no reason? And Instagram is a little more condensed as far as who can see your stuff. Your stuff, I mean, you talk about records in football. You talk about fun events. You talk about current events. I love your views on on stuff that you talk about. And one of your recent tweets was about somebody was complaining that you're very biased, and
you kind of
clap back saying, what'd you say? I'll let you take over.
No, it's just I don't know. I don't even know what video it was, but it's just that a lot of people expect content creators to stay completely neutral or unbiased. I don't know. I just don't get that, because I think we never signed up for that. So I'm a human after all, and you can't compare us to those media companies like 433, ESPN, whatever. And that's why I always get a bit, I don't know, I get confused whenever someone says that. Are you supposed to be unbiased? I'm not. I'm trying to be rational and respectful, but not neutral, because I'm a human with opinions. For example, I like Juve, I don't like Inter, and I'm going to say that. Just an example.
Thank you. So I'm not going to act like you. You'll do just great on this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I feel like people feel that connection to you or any other content creator. And when you go against their club, because they may not have much going on in their lives, they think that's it. This is my thing. And when you go against it, they feel upset, especially younger viewers.
Of course.
You know, and I feel like you should take it as a compliment, because they do feel like you should be on their side, and all of a sudden you take someone else's side. And you know, you've built up a hell of a community. What'd you do to piss off Barcelona fans? I think I missed that one. One of the comments was, hey, are they still mad at you? What did you do?
Well, it's specifically Messi fanboys, I would say. Not the regular fans, but the really obsessed ones. Okay. You know, there's like actual cults around Messi and Ronaldo. Like, I don't count. I'm a fan as well. I prefer Ronaldo, to be fair. But I like both. But there's these actual obsessed people. And then, yeah, whenever you say, for example, I said that I personally, and this might be unpopular, prefer, because I'm a lot into football history, prefer Pelé over both. And they say, oh, you disrespect Messi, and you hate Messi. And whenever, yes, they're really, really sensitive. Both sides, Messi, Ronaldo, that's probably the most toxic fans in football.
So, yeah, they're
and on Twitter, it's peak toxicity as well. So
when we got Ronaldo, you know, that first wave of Barca hate, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know. Because, you know, we have a rivalry with Real Madrid, but as clubs, Juve and Real Madrid have been, you know, they've been a little brotherly together. And, you know, especially since last Super League, we've been kind of linked together. But throughout the years, Juve and Real have been rivals, but also they've been very respectful towards each other more than, say, Barca. So we feel a little... I don't like Real Madrid. It's painful what they've been doing to us throughout the years. But I also do understand how that, you know, relationship is a little tighter than with Barcelona. As I was talking, I forgot the next question I was going to ask. Yes. So tell me, I promised myself I wasn't going to do that. But since we brought up Real Messi versus Ronaldo, I do want to know in a couple of words, why do you prefer Ronaldo over Messi?
It's not that I think he's better. Well, I separate this. I think Messi's better, and he's the better player, had the better career. Mm-hmm. But I just prefer, I just like Ronaldo more, if that makes sense. People always think if you think you like a player more, then you have to think he's better. I don't. I think with the World Cup win, Messi's probably solidified his position above Ronaldo. But I don't know. Ronaldo's mentality, his mental aspect, how he always motivates the team, how he... I don't know. I think he's more of a leader than Messi. And I, as a kid, I always used to look up to him for his mentality and used to project that onto other aspects of life, how he thinks in football, how I can use that to motivate myself. So for that, I will always be thankful. And for that, I will always say Ronaldo is the one I like more, but I think Messi is the better player. We have to admit that. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know if you agree. I completely agree. I've always said, when Ronaldo's back is against the wall, he gets the team and you know, he crushes the competition. Messi, I don't have the exact statistics, but there have been times when, you know, we've all seen Messi leaving the pitch with his head down. And I just feel like that separates the two, that, you know, that drive. And Ronaldo is hated more by the rivals. And that just shows you why he's better, in my opinion. And also, when it's time to, you know, sit back and relax with a little beer and I have nothing to do, I don't go watch Messi's highlights. You know, I go and I type in Ronaldo's best goals or Ronaldo's best Champions League performances, just because aesthetically, it's just so much more fun to watch. There's beautiful headers, there's free kicks, there's crazy solo runs. So overall, as a football fan, I do prefer Ronaldo, but I was more happy that Messi won the World Cup than you know, as opposed to Ronaldo. It's just I have a very similar view.
All right,
with you. So Thiago, tell us. You're in a stage of your popularity, and I don't want to use that word in a bad way. You're in a stage where you get invited places. You and you know, you obviously have an amazing way of giving the fans the view of a fan. So we all know big rivalries and all that, but tell me something about an underrated rivalry in Europe that you were quite honestly shocked by, and you know, the presentation and the TIFO. What was something people don't know about?
Out of the ones I've been to in stadiums, correct. I'd probably go with the Dutch classic, the Dutch Klassieker. It's called Ajax against Feyenoord. Mm-hmm. I went to that game in March this year, and Feyenoord won the league, and they also won that game last minute. It was crazy, 3-2. And that one, I think, is not really talked about. It's not a top five league. Might be soon, but it's not really in the media as much, the Dutch league. But I think it's massive. It's two huge clubs, crazy flares all game. Away fans are banned in this fixture always. I mean, I don't know if you saw what happened there a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, they played again, and then Ajax fans.
I thought that's the one you meant. I was like,
not that one. I went to the one before. I went to the one last season, and yeah, a few weeks ago, Ajax fans went completely crazy. They broke into the stadium, whatever. And I don't know. Even when I went, you felt the hatred. There wasn't a Feyenoord fans in the stadium. It was in Amsterdam, but around the stadium, and yeah, there was fireworks around the stadium hours before the game. I don't know. It was pretty mad. And then if a Feyenoord player scored right in front of us. And then the Ajax fans, all the Ajax fans threw like bottles or cups of beer towards him. It was pretty mad, because for that one, I didn't expect it to be this mad. I mean, you hear about El Clasico, Derby della Madonnina, and I don't know, derbies in England, but I don't know. I think none of them are as crazy. So I would go with that one.
Have you ever been to Derby della Madonnina?
I haven't, no. I've been to Milan games, Inter games, but not the derby, sadly. But that's
I better not catch you wearing that Inter jersey, man. This love is gone if I see you.
I actually do. I have an Inter Barella jersey because I got that from a mystery box. I mean, can't do anything about that.
Ooh, what's a mystery box?
These mystery football shirt boxes, you know, where you like, I don't know, pay $40, $50, and then you get a random shirt. It's like a pack opening with a shirt. And then I got an Inter Barella shirt, I guess. That's the only way I'm ever going to get one. I'm never going to buy one myself.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Let's talk about...
No, it was crazy as well. I have to admit that. But yeah, I'd root for Milan if I went to that game.
Oh, for sure. It's a shame they're talking about demolishing that venue. Even as a rival, you can't...
Yeah, have you been?
Can't let that happen. Unfortunately, no. Living in the U.S., it's...
Yeah, it's...
It's tough to make our way there, but we try. You know, I was lucky enough. I just watched one of your videos, and you were talking about the Cardiff Stadium. I think it's called the Millennium. Or I'm afraid to mess that one up.
Yeah, I think the one for the Euro 2028 stadiums, right? Yeah, correct. I think it's called Millennium or Principality. It has several names. Yeah, you've been to that one?
I saw Champions League final there against Real Madrid.
Wow, you went to that final? Oh man, if only you won that.
I went with no ticket. I went with my friends. We all met up, you know, around Turin. Maurizio, he had a party at a pub, and I ended up scoring a ticket from a friend of mine who did not charge me a dime. So that was, you know, find yourself some friends who are that cool. We went to a sketchy bar with my buddy Weston to get a ticket for him, which was like €1,000. We're walking. Wow. He's like, can you come with me? I'm like, have you seen me? If someone tries to rob you, what am I going to do? You know, but thankfully
it worked out for your friend as well.
What's that?
It did work out for your friend as well. You went together after all.
We both sat in the Real Madrid section. And let me tell you, going back to the Real Madrid conversation, you know, you feel safe around those fans. If I'm wearing the actually wore this jersey,
UT.
Yeah, I
signed as well.
I got what's it? Yeah, it's signed by Del Piero. Well. That's when I never hesitate to show this beauty. Yeah,
beautiful.
For sure will be framed soon. So if I wore that shirt amongst if we were playing any other team, I'd feel a little a little unsafe, but yeah. I was standing in one of the small, I don't know what you guys call them in Europe, but we could see the stadium and we could see the buses pulling up. So they kept us in a small small street and it mm-hmm. was just like, you know, shoulder to shoulder with other fans. Not a single time did I get harassed or, you know.
That's good. That's cool.
I mean, they were taking pictures with the Zidane jersey. Fun fact, yeah, I had to cover it up with a hoodie when we left the stadium because of Juventus fans harassing me. They were really unhappy that I was wearing a rival coach's shirt.
Okay. But I mean, he's still a legend of both clubs. So I guess that's also probably why the Madrid fans were even happier to see that. I mean,
that's true. Well. But to be fair, I bought the shirt before the season started and I wore it every Champions League game when we went to watch with the guys. So it was a superstition type of thing. It wasn't, unfortunately, that was a painful experience, even though, you know what, Real Madrid, many of them did leave before the trophy presentation. And that shocked me. That shocked me when stands were empty and we stayed and it was a legendary moment seeing, you know, I think it was Ramos who lifted the cup. It was painful, but there was no freaking way I was going to leave the stadium then.
Nah. And I mean, that just shows how used to it Real Madrid fans have gotten winning the Champions League. You'd never see Juventus fans leaving if they finally won that again.
Crazy. I would still be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, we talked about little footy here and there, but let's talk about the important stuff. Which stadium has the best food in your experience?
Best food? Well, depends. I mean, I've been to.
It's in Germany, isn't it?
It's probably. It's probably a game where I've been to VIP. I don't need VIP, but sometimes there's just people that got a free ticket, and I get. Yo, I can film there. It's cool. So I've been to a couple of VIP things, and one of them was inside San Siro. I've been to VIP, that was good. That was great. But I've also been a couple of times to San Siro non-VIP, obviously. And that actually, if that's another question, was the worst food.
Was my next question.
Yeah, that,
really.
I think I got some of the best food at San Siro VIP and some of the worst food on a normal ticket, because they sold water in like plastic bags. For, I don't know, 5 euros or whatever. It was crazy. I mean, it was during the pandemic, so it was a bit limited. Don't know if that's different now. But as we all know, San Siro is not the most up-to-date stadium. It's pretty fucked up. It's so legendary, though. But, yeah, no, the worst food was there. The best food was probably San Siro as well, and also Leipzig in Germany. Not a fan of the club, but I've been there a couple times. And their food, it's a modern stadium. They've got all the money in the world. So their food is like... Wow, really good restaurant level.
I'm taking notes because I'm a skinny man trapped in a fat ass body because I love to eat everywhere I go. If I just saw a meme yesterday, listen, if there's no food, I ain't going. It doesn't matter where you invite me. If there's no food, I'm not there. It's really good to know because I mean, out here in the U.S. it's good food, but you break a bank for like a hot dog or something
seeing that. Yeah, there's this Twitter account, I think Foodie Scrants, and they keep
posting that's right.
And whenever they post something from a US stadium, it's like, oh, two beers, $30,
and they're most likely crap beer. Well, Chicago is a huge beer city, so I mean, we got Oktoberfest here all over the place.
Oh,
people
really?
Know, oh my god, people know good food, good beer here, and we have. Wisconsin and Minnesota, which is a lot of German immigrants from back in the days. So it's a, you know, I mean, I have bratwurst every now and then.
Really
love it. Oh, sauerkraut stays on the menu, baby. But Chicago is an exception. United Center, which is where the Blackhawks and the Bulls play. Really good food. But other places in the U.S., it's really tough. Have you ever been here?
I've been to Canada, not the U.S., though.
Oh, come on, man.
So I've been to an MLS game, but not in the U.S.
You are coming for the World Cup, right?
Yeah. I'm planning to come even before. I mean, Copa America is in the U.S. as well next year. So I'm trying to get to the final, maybe. So that would be good.
Are you at a point where you have to bring a videographer with you?
I think I'm actually exactly at that point right now because I didn't used to. I always used to record by myself, or sometimes there'd be a friend coming over as well, but on his own, and we just help each other out. But now I think most of the times for the stadium vlogs, I try to get not a videographer, but at least one of my friends to get them with me to film. But I think I should be doing that soon, yeah, because just a different level than always being like selfie mode.
Yeah, I feel like it gets in the way of you actually, you know. And then yeah. You never know, man.
Exactly that, because I always have to be on my phone, and if there's someone next to me who films me, then I can actually watch the game, and it's more natural, right? I don't watch through my phone. I actually watch the game, and that's a cooler experience, I think, also for the viewers. So yeah, so I'm planning to go to probably the next one is internationally is Denmark, a derby there, a big one there. And there that's going to be the first time when I actually go with someone filming as well, hopefully.
So you mentioned Copa America, which is super cool. You said it's going to be in the US. Which cities are you planning on visiting?
I think for that one, I'll only try the final because it's Euro in Germany as well at the same time. See, so I'm going to be at most of the games here. And then I sadly can't be watching a lot of Copa America games. But I think the final is in New York or in New Jersey, MetLife Stadium. It's a one day before the Euro final in Berlin. So
I think
a lot of people, if it actually works out to me that I get tickets for both, that's going to be tough. And time-wise, it works out as well, then I think I'm going to try to go to both. But I think due to time difference and stuff, I think it's actually going to be possible to arrive 2 hours before the Euro final kickoff from New York to Berlin. Watch the final there, take the plane from New York to Berlin, and then arrive 2 or 3 hours before the kickoff of the Euro final. So, if that works out,
I don't mind telling you, that's terrible planning on their part, right?
Probably. Probably there's not many people who want to actually watch both in the stadium. So, if you want to watch on TV, that works fine. There's probably not many insane people like me.
Well, there's so many content creators now, and
yeah, there might be a couple.
I was jokingly mentioning the worst part, which is the lighting. But what's your favorite part? Do you have a full-time job and you do this on the side, or this, you know, probably ask you about your income, but right?
This is my full-time job now.
Oh, wow. Awesome, man.
But it's not been like that. It's only been like that since January. So before I finished school in 2020, A-levels, we call it here, probably high school in the US. And then it was either go to university or take this seriously. And I took this seriously, but I could only do this because I got a full-time job in social media at the same time. So for about 3 years, I've been doing full-time job as a social media manager, whatever, for companies. Mm-hmm. And then on the side, ran my things. And then, after the World Cup, I quit that job. And then I've been doing it full-time since then. Let's see where it goes. It's been fun so far.
You're living the dream, and there's nothing wrong with that, man. What's a... Not to get corny, but we're on this podcast. We try to be supportive. We try to be motivational. What's one advice before we move on to further footballing and fun stuff? What is something that you've been meaning to tell younger people who are trying to pursue something that you do, or maybe in different parts of life? What's something that you will recommend or you can give as an advice to younger people out there?
I think there's a couple of things, but I think the most important one is because a lot of people start making, I want to make videos. I mean, most students' favorite job now is I'm going to be a YouTuber. But the thing is, you have actually got to have the passion for what you're doing. Like, you can't go in there and expect a result or expect money or expect... I made that page because I was I was a bit bored, to be fair, but I actually I was actually passionate about just talking about football to other people that I don't know. So that was my intention. My intention when I made that at 14 years of age wasn't, yo, how long does it take to make money with it? I didn't even know that you can make money with this. So of course that can be your goal, but if you're not passionate about making videos every day or sitting long ass sessions until 3 a.m. at night to cutting, editing videos, it's boring. Like, that's not cool, but that's a big part of the job. People always see, oh, you go to crazy stadiums, cool, meet players or whatever. But most part of the job is actually, yeah, sitting in my studio here at night, it's dark, and then I just cut videos or I just edit or just think of ideas or just plan or whatever, do taxes or whatever. So it's not, you actually have to enjoy the journey. And if you don't, then if you just think, oh, I want to do that because I want to meet that player, it's not going to work. You see, I don't know if that made sense, but I think.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those motivational posters. It's the iceberg. People don't see the bottom of it.
Yeah, I didn't want to say like that. But there's actually truth to it. So yeah, it's actually true.
It's okay, and, man. We're cheesy as hell here on the podcast too. So you mentioned that was a great segue. By the way, check out if you're watching this on YouTube or on Spotify. Thankfully, we have a deal with Spotify where you can actually see the video as well. This man is a professional. He's looking at the camera the whole time. He's giving you your eye contact. Am I
looking at the camera the whole time?
Yeah, you're good, man. You're doing excellent. I'm learning a lot of things from you here. You mentioned meeting the players. How many overall have you met, which are like top 10 players? How many have you made interviews with?
It's a tough one. I mean, I haven't met hundreds. Maybe out of like players that people know, maybe a dozen. Like maybe, so yeah, maybe some. There was some Arsenal players. There was some guys like Piqué, Neymar. Kvaratskhelia was a digital interview that I recently did, but that was probably my coolest experience. So yeah, maybe a dozen. Yeah, it doesn't happen every day. So
we'll get to the part where you tell us who wasn't really pleasant to be around, but I do want to find out about what's that.
Oh, I'm excited for that part.
All right, but who were you surprised with? A player who didn't just do it for the cameras, wasn't nice to you because the cameras were there, but genuinely nice, down to earth guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kvaratskhelia was a really down to earth guy, and he was great, but I don't know because I didn't see him off camera. I just saw him on a Zoom call. Yeah. So I think the most like personal experience, the most authentic one where I actually thought, yeah, this guy actually wants to talk to me, was Piqué, because I think it's easier because he's retired. I met him in January when he had just retired. For him, he was free. He could talk because whenever players are in a contract, their clubs restrict a lot and their sponsors, their clubs restrict a lot of what they can say. When I talked to Neymar, he said a lot of things where his PR manager, she sat next to him and she was like, no, you can't say that. Repeat that question. Mm-hmm. Repeat the answer. You have to say something else.
What kind of questions were you asking where they had to step in, man?
I wasn't even asking controversial questions. I think it was what part do you enjoy least? What part of football life do you enjoy least or something? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he said, can I say this? I hope I can. It wasn't even bad. He just said, yeah, I don't like training or something. Something. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Don't worry.
Bad.
No one's listening to this podcast. It's not going to come out. But it's good to know. We got a little.
It was interesting for me as well because I was shocked. He just said, as a joke, yeah, I don't like training. I'm a bit lazy. And his PR manager was like, no, you can't say that. PSG's going to be mad. They are going to be mad. The fans are going to be mad. And he was like, why? He was actually also debating with her. Why can I not say this? And then he was like, okay. So that was a bit annoying. And Piqué didn't have that because Piqué didn't have a club anymore. He just said whatever he wanted. And even when we didn't record, he was talking to me for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. And that was cool. Yeah. He's a great guy, in my opinion.
That's good to know. Well, training is not that a controversial opinion. I remember in Pirlo's book, he said that I hated it. I hated the...
Right. He said that as well.
He was talking about the pre-game warm-up. He said it's masturbation for the training staff. And he said, there's no point. I'm a professional. You know, if I'm in a good condition, I'll know. Pirlo said that he hated the warm-ups. But it's fun to know about Neymar. And I'm not surprised that he had the whole PR machine behind him. Obviously, it's PSG. PSG of last 5 years has become such a just a machine. So
marketing, not merchandise machine.
What's the future of PSG, you think? Your personal opinion as a fan. Do you think that that whole bubble burst now with, you know, Mbappe probably leaving?
I don't know if that's controversial, but I thought because Qatar bought PSG like 12 years ago, and that I think when it was already confirmed they will host the World Cup, and I thought like it was all like a big build up towards the World Cup, get some marketing in for the country as well. And then what I assume is that they are not going to spend as heavily now that they've hosted the World Cup as before. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, this summer they spent heavily, but I mean, you're right. They lost Messi, they lost Neymar, and they're also going to be losing Mbappe next summer. I don't think they're actually going to be as aggressive in the market and the one big spender as they used to be in the next years. I think it's going to be different clubs.
That's interesting, because that we can safely say that that experiment has failed. I mean, all the Champions League exits and all that
heavily.
And failed. I'm happy to see that, to be honest with you. I am, you know, after the pandemic, Italian football is in shambles right now, obviously, with all the scandals and stuff. But I do like seeing teams poach players from other teams that are unknown. Maybe the scouts will do a lot better now rather than throwing a lot of money. I'm not talking about the Premier League, because there's still what's your opinion on the Premier League and the insane fees that they're charging to sign players?
It's a different world. Like it's a completely different world than any other league. They've drifted so far away. Yeah. In Germany, we are used to a bit different kind of club type, where the fans actually own the club, can decide the club, what happens at the club, can vote for the president, as for example in Spanish clubs as well. So English clubs all being owned by some whatever billionaire state, whatever. It's something that I don't know. I didn't grow up as a football fan like that, and I'm not a fan at all. For me, it sounds harsh, but I keep saying it, and that's one of the things that I get called out for as well by English fans. I think Premier League clubs, most of them have been selling their soul. It's not the type of football that I like. It's not the type of the way that a club should be run, in my opinion. But of course, on the pitch, it gives them a huge advantage, and we have to accept that. Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you that. The soul has been sucked out, you know, and
ticket prices as over the roof. Fans can't, the real original fans can't even attend anymore. It's a bit sad, in my opinion.
Yeah, you see the videos from the stands, and they're pretty dead. And I think you're gonna catch some shit from Chelsea fans, because your recent tweet, you know, and the year I'm so confused with the Euros and the World Cup coming up. I know what's going to happen tomorrow, maybe the day after tomorrow, but I know, you know, England will have a few stadiums, and Chelsea fans were upset at you for not talking about Stamford Bridge. And you're like, they're not even top five in London.
Yeah.
As far as stadiums go. And I think they missed their mark by not building that stadium that they needed. The big old stadium like Tottenham did. I don't think Chelsea is in the position now to build themselves a big stadium. And it's so funny, as far as derbies go, we talked about, you know, big clashes. I feel like the smaller the derby in England, the more fun it is. I don't even bother watching the Manchester Derby anymore. I don't bother watching the big teams play each other, just because it's pretty boring, right? Like, it's not just me that the games have become, you know, back in 2008,
there was more soul to it. I don't know. There was more vibes to it. I can't even describe it. But we're probably the minority here, because the Premier League is obviously the most watched league by far in the world. And most people enjoy it, apparently. But I fully agree with you. I mean, I would watch some second, some championship game, Millwall against whoever. I think those are the clubs that really stayed true to themselves. The second, third division clubs in England, maybe the smaller clubs. But I agree, Manchester United against Man City, I haven't been to that game. And I'm actually, if I was offered to see like a smaller game in Italy or Germany or Spain, whatever, where there's actually good fans, a little derby, or Manchester United against City, I would always go for the other one. I don't know.
Liverpool, Genoa, Sampdoria would be fun to watch.
I'd choose that over any Manchester derby. My guy. So yeah,
It sucks to see Pirlo not doing real well at Sampdoria. To be honest, I thought he would do great, but our guy's struggling so far. So you were talking about going to see a derby in India. I like that you are trying to explore and you're asking your followers, and also about Swedish games where you would go. I don't know why I brought that up, but my question is there like a nightmare story about getting into a stadium or going to a game that you wanted to share with us? Something behind the scenes that we didn't know?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Or is modern game kind of caught up and provided, you know, the best vibes and the best accessibility to the fans? Or is it still... I remember what happened at Real Madrid, Liverpool, right? At the final.
Yeah.
That's like
in Paris, recent. Right? Yeah.
Paris, yeah.
And you wouldn't expect that from a venue like that. No, that's a good question, but I think so far, luckily, I've haven't experienced any huge issues myself. If you mean like issues where security would not let fans in, stuff like that, right?
Or something that where somebody was sitting in your seat or you know, you ate a bad meal.
Sometimes it's a bit difficult, which I can understand, though. Some people, especially in Germany, react a bit annoyed if they see someone in the stands filming. For example, a week ago, we did actually for the Bundesliga, we did a documentary about in Stuttgart, it's a German team. We did a documentary and filmed for the Bundesliga. So it was actually, we were working for the Bundesliga.
Oh, wow.
And we had press passes and all that stuff, but people, we filmed and people behind us, they were shouting at us. It was like two, like 40-year-olds, whatever. They were shouting at us and they were like, watch the fucking game. And they always wanted to like take our phones, and they didn't, but they were really annoyed. I can understand, because they just want to enjoy their game, and they're probably a bit bothered by people like filming them. We didn't film them, but filming each other talking into the camera. But after all, what could we do? We were actually there to do a job for the Bundesliga, so that's sometimes a bit tricky. I haven't experienced that in any other countries, only in Germany, because German fans are like really down, stick to their traditions. They don't like people filming, they don't like influencers, they don't like all that stuff. So in Germany, that can get a bit tough, and I understand the people, but no, I haven't had any huge problems, luckily.
I like that you brought up German football, because right now you guys are holding it down as far as ticket prices, as far as the atmosphere, as far as stadium capacity.
I thought people you were going to talk about how bad German football is right now, but okay, ticket prices are good. And the fans,
if I ever catch a Bundesliga game, I enjoy the shit out of it, because they fight until the end. They're, you know, the fans don't stop supporting until the end. I really enjoy it. If I were not a Juve fan, I would absolutely be a Bayern fan. I respect what they do.
Area? Sorry.
Absolutely. Chicago, like I said, it's a big German/Italian. There's you know, if I see a grown man with a beard and he's over 40 and he's supporting Chelsea or Manchester City, I automatically assume you started watching like 6 years ago when they got popular. I kind of roast them, but if I see actually the flag behind, not the flag, the Forza Juve scarf behind me was given to me by a Bayern fan, my good friend from Serbia. We don't see each other a lot, so it took me about 3 years to get this from him. But he was, every time he's like, I need to bring you your scarf. So there's respect. And if you go and watch a Bayern game or any other Bundesliga game at a bar here, they're packed. They know what they're doing. They're three beers in before the game even starts. So it's a lot of fun. So like I was saying, a Bundesliga is showing how it's supposed to be done. Aren't the teams 51% owned by the fans, right?
Yeah. Some are 100% owned by the fans, but they have to be there has to be like 50% plus a single share owned by the fans, so they keep the voting.
Do you have any shares?
Power. It's actually not like stock market shares. It's like you become a paid member of the club, and then you can vote. So yeah, I'm a member for Hamburg. Yeah, I'm a member there.
You're not gonna own a team soon, right? You know, you're gonna have a Netflix documentary about owning a third tier German team, and I'm here for it. I love it. Actually, I'm giving you some great ideas here, man. It's a new thing, owning a team and making a documentary about it.
Yeah.
So, is there anything before we get to? Again, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're a busy guy. You're editing a video before you joined. You have stuff to do after we finish up. I wanted to mention two more things before we get to our little fun questionnaire. The betting in modern football. You're a fan. Is it something that is responsibility of the adults? What do you feel about introducing betting, especially here in America? It's a huge deal now. You can't go anywhere without betting bros talking to you about the parlays and the this and the that. I really don't care about any of that stuff, but now it's kind of seeping into the culture of the game. And there's a Polish player in Italian league. The name escapes me. He bet on himself getting a yellow card in the game, and you know what? He did get a yellow card in the 94th minute. He's being investigated now. I think he's a Roma player, and obviously Juventus and Fagioli and Tonali. What are your thoughts on that? Should that be separated? Should that be? Tell me.
Yeah, and first of all, I do not get why the players would do it, but that doesn't really get to me. But betting as a whole, it's obviously huge in the US probably, but in Europe as well. I mean, Bundesliga, even Germany, where they stick to the core values of the game. Well, actually, that's how people think of the German league, and it is that way. But still, betting is everywhere. Even in Germany, at halftime break, TV, every single club has a betting sponsor. Some even have them on the shirt. Mm-hmm. Premier League as well. I don't know if you have that in the US, but in Premier League stadiums, for example, at Arsenal, you can actually, there's betting offices in the stadium. Do you have that in the US? Where you can at halftime, there's a guy that takes bets, an official guy that takes your bets, watch.
We're fat Americans. We're not trying to leave and go somewhere else. We have it all on our phones, man. We have apps. We have like five apps, and it's so funny because like I sometimes watch like European TV and stuff. You guys have cleaning, cleaning agents and advertising. Stuff that actually people use here in America, it's pharmaceutical commercials and betting commercials.
Wow.
Nine commercials out of 10 will be either a betting site or advertising medication, which is hilarious to people who can't come here to America to see people advertising medications. And the other one is like US Army or something, they're advertising. Okay. But yeah, I don't think we have designated box offices. But there's definitely apps. I mean, 5-6 apps that are competing. It's a huge market share right now.
Crazy, yeah. No, it's. I think I don't like betting. Like I hate betting. I don't bet. But and I think it's sad that it's so normalized in our culture, even in Europe, even in Germany, that people like I know a lot of people who bet. Like my friends, most of them like a little parlay here, a little combo here, and. I prefer those fantasy football games. So that's probably, I don't know if I would bet otherwise, maybe not, but that's the reason for me not caring at all about betting. I play like my fantasy games and that stuff. I prefer that. It's something that gets a lot of young people addicted and like serious addictions.
Absolutely.
And it's got serious results as well. So I don't know why it's so normalized. I mean, I know why, because it's a huge market, so the clubs probably can't live without it. But it's still sad. There's always going to be a market for that. I mean, people have been betting for probably centuries on other stuff. But I think it sucks. But it probably, if you remove or ban betting at all in football, then most of the clubs might not survive. So that's the difficult part about this.
I just feel like they should increase the age. I don't think I don't I In Europe, it's probably like 12 years old or something. So you guys drink alcohol since age 10. No.
It's 18.
What is it's
18. In Germany, it's 18.
Still, they would never. I mean, I don't even know what it is. I think it's 21 here. I'm pretty sure
it's probably 21 here as well. Yeah, you're right.
Because we're way immature for it. But I mean, it's really sad because you're introducing a whole new generation to a way to get addicted to something new. You know, it's an addiction that's going to be available. It's just like when people try to quit alcohol, it's the toughest addiction to overcome because it's so available everywhere. It's so normalized.
Right.
I'm worried. I'm worried as a parent and stuff, but you know what? I guess that's what parents are for, to introduce their kids to what's good and what's bad. This has been the part of the podcast that we do that kids can take something away. Question before we do a little questionnaire and say goodbye to our friend here. What are your thoughts on the insane schedule of the 2030 World Cup that was introduced a couple of weeks ago? I did a little research here. If you want to talk about it, obviously you're the man.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. It shocked me at first. 6 countries, 3 continents. I was like, okay, they're going to host the games equally in those 6 countries, and I think that would just suck in terms of flying, in terms of the actual players are going to be exhausted as hell, and it's also not horrible for the environment. But I think the way they're doing it now for this tournament is probably it's all right, because of course one game in Uruguay, then in Argentina and Paraguay, one game each. To like celebrate the anniversary, I don't know why they're doing Argentina and Paraguay. Then Uruguay would have been enough, but still, it's just one game, okay? And it's just going to be 6 teams, even having to go to South America for that. Or 3 teams are already in South America, the host countries there. So only 3 teams having to go there, and then the rest is obviously in Europe and Africa. Sounds like okay, it's going to be crazy, but you have to, if you actually look at it, Portugal, Spain. Next to each other, and then Morocco is right next to them as well. So it's a region there, I think, smaller than Brazil. So it's probably not that bad. I think it's all right, but I think they didn't really do it for the heritage, the fact that they got these games into South America, for the vibes, for the anniversary. I think the actual reason they did that and just give 3 games to South America is because there's this host cycle thing. So if a continent hosts, they can't host for another 2 World Cups. Now South America, Africa, and Europe are out for another 2. And 2034 is just Asia and Oceania. And we all know who's going to host that one. So I think FIFA, it's going to be Saudi Arabia. FIFA had that in mind as well. So
really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I think I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But I
think it's not a conspiracy. It's a theory.
Because if they had just put it into South America and hosted there, the whole World Cup, then for 2034, it could have been either Europe, Africa, Asia, or Oceania, and it wouldn't really be clear who hosts that. But now they gave an easy path to Saudi Arabia. Probably understandable. They probably pay the most money. Mm. But I don't know. It sounded a bit, took it with a grain of salt. I don't know.
Interesting. I didn't know where we were going to come out with a conspiracy theory here.
No,
that's very interesting.
I'm not saying I'm not saying it's bad. 2030 World Cup, I'm actually looking forward. I think it's a cool World Cup. But I don't know. I don't think they're doing it for the reasons that they're acting. Like they're pretending. So that's the only
thing. FIFA, no. They're such transparent.
they would never do that.
But that's really interesting, because I feel like people complain, and including me, when the news came out, it was quite shocking. But I feel like it's gonna work out fine. It's gonna be a celebration. Maybe they'll do a couple of adjustments here and there. Maybe we'll have electric boats or electric airplanes by then, hopefully.
Maybe.
I'm only joking. The electric airplanes. I'm not getting on an electric airplane. I'm sorry. That's very interesting. I'm really looking forward to the next World Cup here in the US, obviously. Yeah. I lived back home in Azerbaijan when 94 was happening. And I mean, Americans didn't really care. But next World Cup, you guys will be surprised about the organization and how fun it will be. Man, it's gonna be, I'm just pissed because there's no Chicago venue.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. There's none, right? There's no Chicago.
No, there's no Chicago. The closest one is Columbus, Ohio. It's a, I don't know,
it's a game in
10 hour drive.
There's a, Columbus is a host city? There's no, I don't know.
I think it's Kansas City.
It might be Kansas City, yeah.
Because my wife is in tech sales and she works with someone who's actually working on upgrading their, you know, Kansas Chiefs stadium, which is going to be like one of the most technologically advanced stadiums in the U.S. I think they're trying to get it ready for that World Cup. But I mean, we'll be flying. I really want to go to Dallas, Texas, the billion-dollar stadium. Hopefully, you can make it too. We'll meet up, have a few drinks. You know,
yeah, I'll be there.
I'll try to go as many games as possible. Even if, you know, those fan zones are pretty fun too. You know, standing outside of the stadium with the big screens. Here in Chicago, they have them in Grand Park, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. So, again, thank you so much.
Thanks for the invite, man.
Of course, people should give me your socials while I get the questions ready. How can people follow you and where and all that good stuff?
Well, pretty much anywhere there is social media. Twitter is Fiago7, YouTube is Fiago, and TikTok and Instagram is actually Footy-based, but you will just have to type in Fiago and you will still find me. So yeah, just type in Fiago. You can follow me.
You need to come and join us on one of the watch alongs. We do watch alongs for big games. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you. All right, Fiago, my friend. What we do here is we put you on the spot. Get it?
Because it's
a penalty. It's a penalty. It's a penalty kick. You didn't look out. Did you look over the questions?
I'm sorry, I haven't.
All right, no worries. All right. Do you prefer a ski resort or a beach town vacation?
Beach.
Love it.
Just one word. No explanation, right?
You can explain, man. Are you kidding me? We'll love to hear more.
I love both, but I'm going to say beach.
I did the questions a little towards like the German in you. So all right. Next question.
German would choose the ski resort or?
I don't know. You guys love mountains, don't you? It's a big mountain.
Yeah, I mean, I've got family in Switzerland where they live in a ski resort, so we go there. So that's great as well. But I think if I had to drop one, I would drop the ski resort.
All right, you just heard the most bougie sentence here. I have family who lives on a ski resort in Switzerland. I love it.
And they just live there, so
yeah. Sorry, Mr. Moneybags. This is kind of a silly question, but do you prefer a good beer or a good strong cocktail?
A beer.
What's your beer?
I'd be stripped of my citizenship if I said what's my beer?
Yeah.
I actually choose a non-German beer. I've got to go with a Guinness from Ireland. Do you know that?
Well, no, I don't.
No, you do.
Of course I do. Come on. They open the it's my morning beer. If I'm watching a game before 9 a.m., that's my coffee/beer. They actually opened the Guinness Brewery here in Chicago. I've been telling you how we're serious about our beer here in Chicago, and they have these little breweries all over town, but they also opened the Guinness Brewery here. So if you're visiting Chicago, look it up. Most embarrassing song on your phone that you will immediately turn down if it plays in public.
Embarrassing song, probably the Sarà Perché Ti Amo. I love it. You know it, the one that Milan fans sing as well, classic Italian song.
I do know it and I love it, but I'm talking about, this is not embarrassing. I'm talking.
No,
I'm
not embarrassing. I love it. But the thing is, whenever I'm around, like they roast Juventus on that song. You know, they say like chi non salta è porco Juventino. And I think that for that reason, I'm a bit ashamed when I'm around Juve fans that I actually love this song, because I actually listen to the Milan fan version as well, and I like it. But all right. That's why embarrassing.
What about something like a guilty pleasure song, like Cotton Eye Joe or Barbie Girl?
Oh, I actually have to look up Spotify. I'm a lot into 80s songs. Like I actually listen to 80s hits all the time. So probably maybe that. Maybe one of those.
I love it because you reach a point in your life where you're old enough where 80s music actually freaking slaps. And I'm impressed with you being you know, in your early 20s enjoying 80s music. I love that shit. I play for my kids all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Your favorite movie of all time?
Gotta go with either Wolf of Wall Street or the whole Star Wars. the whole Star Wars movies, love all it. Of them.
But not the not the not the
not the new one, not the Disney ones. Not, not Disney ones. Those suck. The first it. Six.
Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Dogs, absolutely. I'm allergic to cats, so I love dogs. So yeah.
What's on the spot? What name can you come up? What is? Well, sorry. Let me ask. Let me start again. Best football related pet name you can think of.
A pet name related to a footballer? I've got no idea, man. Oh man, you've got to help me out there. If I knew one, I'd actually name my next pet. Oh my, I've got two bunnies. If I knew one, I had named.
You got two bunnies?
I've got two bunnies. Yeah, but I didn't name them after any football because I couldn't come up with a name. My buddy's name is Holmes, which I don't know. It's a stupid name as well, but I love it.
You know what? This is content for your. I'm giving you free content here. If any of your followers are listening, please come up with names of two bunnies for Fiago. Please. I think that could be quite hilarious.
Yeah.
You prefer hip hop, rock music, or electronic music?
If you could
listen to one for the rest of your life,
I'd say rock music. If it involves like Bruce Springsteen, 80s. If that is called rock, I don't know. But like, I'm not into
as rock as it comes, baby.
I was gonna say because that I'm really into Bruce Springsteen, one of the 80s artists that I really like. So I'm gonna say.
You rock. Are ahead of your time, my friend. You are.
I'm probably too old for my body.
you're old soul. I love it. Springsteen is a legend, and I think he's been hospitalized recently. So
yeah. We went to a concert in Germany with my mom because my mom loves him. And I went to a concert with my mom like in June. And a month later, he had to stop. He had to stop playing because he had. I don't know what he has, but he's going to recover well, though. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's not looking good, but the guy goes 3 hours. How long was the concert?
It was 3 hours. It was started at 7, ended at 10, and he didn't take a single break. The man is like 74. No breaks. Didn't even drink a sip of water. I was worried for him. He was just kept singing.
Maybe that's what got him in the hospital.
Maybe he just took it too far. Yeah. But if I'm anywhere near as fit as him at that age, then achieved everything I want.
What this is not one of the questions, but what do you do for fitness? You obviously play a game, or what's something that you do to keep up your great appearance?
Oh, watch out for your mic.
Yeah, I know.
Great appearance. Thanks. I used to play football, but not anymore. Sometimes play with friends like twice a month. I go to the gym like all of us, like boring. I go to the gym three times a week, maybe two, three times a week. Not a bodybuilder, but I just like to, because I sit here all day making videos, then I actually have to do something as well. Like otherwise I'm going to be really, really unfit. So yeah, three times in the gym, it's okay.
Very, very smart. Very smart of you to do. And plus, it's good for your mind, man. Kids don't know.
Well. But
we always promote mental health here. It's so funny. I always tell people if you're not feeling well, if there's something you need to get off your chest, if you don't have anyone in your life, please reach out to us. And this one guy wrote, "I am going to commit suicide because Allegri is our coach. Is there anything that you can do?" Of course, he was kidding. He didn't phrase it like that, but he did say that he said he's depressed because Allegri is our coach. I'm like, this is not what I was talking about, but that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Some people take football too seriously, man.
Especially Allegri era. Allegri 2.0 has been
the second one. Yeah, the first one was great.
What's the next question? What's your favorite hat trick of all time?
Oof. Favorite hat trick. Oh, that's a tough one. Probably one of the Ronaldo ones. I don't know.
It was probably against the German team too.
He scored a lot of hat tricks against the German team. He scored one against Bayern in the Champions League semifinal 2014, I think.
Which was half of those goals were shouldn't have been counted.
Yeah, to be fair, they got really lucky with the ref Real Madrid. But no, I think that one stuck with me. It's like so iconic. He held up like a four, maybe even scored four goals. I don't even remember. But that one was, I think it involved a free kick as well. It was just an iconic.
Through the wall. Yeah. I think it's two different hat tricks, but nevertheless,
I've got it mixed up.
If you're bored and you're on YouTube, just looking up Ronaldo's hat tricks is a
yeah,
it's a hell of a time.
So all
right,
many.
We're almost done here. Which player from the past do you think would have the most lit socials?
A player that's retired? Oh, that's
player that player have. From the old era who would have like the most fun Instagram, fun Twitter.
Oh man, I think it might be George Best from Man United, the Northern
when
Irish.
When I was typing that, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah,
yeah. People don't know the legend, man. This guy is ridiculous.
This man once, I think he once said, like, what did he say? I wasted most of my money on, I don't know if I can say
women
this,
and booze.
Women, and booze, and drugs, whatever, and the rest are just wasted. what a guy, man. Yeah, he'd be fun on social media.
You know what would be fun? If somebody opened fake social accounts from like older players. It would take a lot of work, but I feel like there's a lot of potential there to have like a Cantona social media account or something.
Yeah.
All right. True. And finally, last question. What's a game that happened in the past that you would love to go back and watch live?
Oh, I have to go with the 2014 World Cup final. Oh, all of the ones that I didn't, that wasn't alive. Maybe if those are included, then I'd probably want to watch the World Cup semi-final, Germany against Italy, 1970, way back.
Love it.
That's called Game of the Century for a reason, probably. 4-3 Italy, and it was in Mexico, World Cup Mexico, and people, the old, like my uncles, whatever, and my grandpa, they kept telling me that was the best game of all time. And yeah, I would love to see that because it's my two.
My dad's mentioned that too.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that one. Awesome, man. Look at you. You went through the hellfire with us. You completed. It's like the version of Hot Ones here. It's a pleasure.
Cool.
I really hope you can come back and visit us again. Maybe watch a game with us. And please, I'm not kidding. Look us up when you come to the US. We'll hang out. We'll have a party.
I will.
Absolutely, I'll let you go. Man. I'll let you go. You got plans. You're busy, man. Go have fun. Listen to your 80s music and love having you on, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate the invite, man. Really enjoyed this.
Anytime. All right, boys and girls. Thank you for tuning in. As always, stay hydrated. Check on your friends and Forza Juve.